We just read it. It'll be just fine. But thought about this scripture for a while. We preached over here in Luke not too awful long ago in the same chapter, in the 14th chapter. And thought on this for a good little bit now, but just don't know, like I say, don't know if we'll say nothing at all, but if we read it, and that's it, it'll be just fine. Maybe about the 16th verse, thank you, Jay, of the 14th chapter of the book of Luke. The Bible said, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them," I'll stop right there. I believe I'll just stop right there. I thought on this scripture, though, and I know it's familiar, no doubt, to all of us. And I thought about this, how there was a time for some to get to eat, and how there was a time that they were bidden to come. And they made excuse. What is an excuse? That's a reason that you come up with to justify whatever you're wanting. An excuse is something that just more or less will give you a pass. And the Bible said there that they all consented, and so I don't quote it wrong. It said, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. And I thought about that in some of what maybe we've talked about already here at the church tonight. There's a lot in our day and time that's making excuses. There's a lot that's coming up with good reason not to go to the house of God. There's a lot that's coming up, and I won't say good reason. There's a lot that's coming up with reasons and excuses not to go to church. There's a lot that's got reasons why they won't go to an altar. There's a lot that's got a whole lot of excuses in their lives right now. But what does our excuses matter? What is it going to excuse you from, in other words? Think real serious on that. If you get excused from something, you got allowed not to have to participate, not to have to partake. So these today that's wanting to get excused from the house of God, wanting to get excused from the repenting that God's wanting them to do, what are they truly getting excused from? I sat here this evening and I listened to testimonies. I saw joy in people's lives that didn't have an excuse. Then the time came, Barbara, that they got called to the supper and they went and ate.
If you get excused from anything when God's drawing you and God's trying to give you something, you're getting excused from enjoying the blessings of God. You'd rather go and prove your oxen. You'd rather go and see your land. You'd rather go and be with that wife. Be with that thing that you're using for a reason. Be with that that you're using as an excuse. And there's a lot today that somewhere's doing what they want to do tonight. There's a lot that's in places that they would rather be than to be in the house of God. How sad that is. It's not that they're rejecting me. It's not that they're rejecting the people of the church. You know who gets rejected? The master. You know who that excuse goes out to? The one that's worked so hard. The one that's prepared a supper tonight. Ever growing up, they yelled at him, said, "It's time to eat. Get in here and sit down." You want to keep playing or you want to keep doing what you want to do? You better get in here and eat. I'm having too much fun. You ever walked in there and the table cleared off and you can just eat later? Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot today that the Lord's been. Tell them I got something for you. I'm having too much fun, and they've got excuse after excuse after excuse why they don't have to come to church, why they don't have to serve the Lord. Well, they're going to come today when they decide they're ready to eat. There's only one way to come to this supper. You've got to be bid to it. You've got to be called to it. And there's a lot today that's a pushing away the calling of God, that's a pushing away what God is trying to give. Say, "Well, preacher, I don't see a thing there. I'm talking about a spiritual table that God has spread here tonight that's full of the best things you could ever eat." These people here was turning it away, and they all consented with each other. What's this world doing today? It's consenting with each other. What does that mean? It's agreeing with each other. That you don't need church. You don't need God. You just do what you want to do and follow how you want to follow. They went to one of these men that was standing there that disagreed with each other. "We don't want to go down there and eat. Let's just tell them we got this to do and that to do." What did he say down there at the end of this? Is where it is the saddest part of it. The 24th verse, he said, "For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." All these excuses everybody's making to stay out of the house of God and stay away from the preached word of God. One of these days they're going to get hungry for it. And one of these days when it comes to their time that they decide they want it, they're going to try to come and eat. And there won't be nothing on the table for them. He said that none of those men that were bidden took place of that. We better be careful about turning away our invitations. Lost people, you better be careful about turning away your invitations. And Christians better be careful about turning away the invitations. They went out and gathered manna in the mornings. The ground was covered with it. Some of them wanted to go out there and get it, and they didn't want to eat right then. And they thought, "Well, we'd go out later and get it." Some of them said, "I'll just grab me a little piece of it and I'll save it for later." Do you know when it was time to eat? When the manna was on the ground. You know when you could get it and eat it, it tasted like wafers as though they had honey? You know when that was? When it was spread out there for you. You know what happened if you tried to take that and put it up to eat later? It grew worms. You couldn't eat it no more. It wasn't a help to you no more. You want to know why our churches, people want to shut down the churches? Because there's so many excuses out there. So many people that want to consent with each other to do away with the churches. To do away with the preached word of God. They don't want to eat what God's got the table spread for. They don't want what God's got out there. Then people eat that manna, and then they got sick of the manna, and we want quail. You know what? We don't ever get satisfied, do we? We want this, we want that. Do you know what we're going to eat? What God gives us. Make all excuses you want. But when God spreads the table, you better eat. You come back later and you'll be wanting. And you can't get nothing. It's a sad thing to see anybody go hungry, ain't it? Knowing that they had opportunity to eat and to walk away from it ain't nothing no more sad. We see people struggling in this life today. It's turned away the bread of life. And now they're hungry and they're wallowing around in this world and they're wanting something to eat. And I wonder how many of them made an excuse the last opportunity they had to think. Why is it so important to come to church? Why is it so important to sit under the preached word of God? That's our time to eat. That's when the table's spread. Better not be making no excuses. We better be eating, church. What did the Lord do to Elijah? Arise and eat. The journey's going to be long. When the Lord told him to get up and eat, had that cruise of water, little bit of bread, may not have seemed like much, boy, on that long journey. He's so glad he had that on his stomach, wasn't he? The Lord brings us together, week after week. Arise and eat. Arise and eat. I'm going to tell you, I go 3 days and I'm getting hungry to get back to the house of God. I don't know how people's going months on end and years on end without it. How did you go without eating? It won't work. We've got to eat. When God comes by and says, arise. Better eat. There again, I'm going to say this. I thought about this. Greg Warren preached a message one time here at this church, and he mentioned, he said, how many hours were in the house of God? And that's when churches was going 3 services a week. He mentioned how many hours we was under the influence of the preached word of God in the house of God. And he mentioned how many hours of the week we were under the influence of this world. Which one of those is the most? You're sitting under the influence of this world the most. That's why every opportunity, young men, leave in the house of God you can. Young ladies. Young people. Be in the house of God every time that you can. Scoot up to the table and get fat on the goodness of God every time the table's spread. Why, preacher? Because the journey's going to be long. We're facing things right now we never thought we'd face. What's Savannah going to see? What's these young men going to see? What's Jay and Aubrey going to see one of these days? And we might see it, Matthew, before we leave here. When they come in here and try to put a lock on that door and say, you ain't allowed no more. So right now, as much as we can, Slide your feet up and under the table of God. Get your children right beside you and sit down under the Word of God. Because the journey is going to get long. So we better arise and eat and quit making excuses. Churches that's out here, I pray that they would preach this gospel. If we're scared to gather in the house of God, get on the porch and preach. If we're scared to sit beside one another, get outside and sit in your car. But let's not forsake our assembling together as the manner of some is. Thank you, Lord. We can't stop, church. We can't give up on this gospel. We got people dying and going to hell. I pray our men of God would get a boldness about them that we would stand and preach. We quit backing up and go forward. It might ruffle some feathers if it doesn't just have to ruffle. I don't mean to get nobody else's business, but that's the business I'm going to preach where God put me. Our peoples have died whether we want to come to church or not. They're going to hell whether we want to preach or not. Whether we want to gather together or not, whether we want to get scared about everything that comes our way, our people is dying. And I don't find no words to sit down, to give up, or to turn back. Prophet overheard the word of God. I've preached on him many a time. God sent him and he told him to keep it going. Don't stop. Don't sit down. Don't take nothing to eat. You don't go back the way you come. You keep moving forward. God don't want the church to go backwards. He don't want us to sit down. He don't want us to make our home where we're at. He wants us to keep going forward. I encourage everybody. Don't get down, don't get disheartened. Just get gritty and go forward. We might have to adapt a little bit. There might be a few things a little different. But I'm going to tell you what. Keep reaching the Word and going forward. Keep standing strong. Youngins, I don't know why I'm preaching to a lot of these young people tonight. Stand firm, Austin Peake. There's been some good men of God down through time that set an example in front of me. And when everything went wrong, families turned against them. The churches hated their guts. They stood and preached the Word of God. God help us to do the same in front of these youngins. Those of us that's been in this way a while, stay in the way. Stay in the path of righteousness. God ain't led me to do anything besides follow Him and stay firm with what I know is true and what I know works. They come in there and told them apostles they didn't want to hear them preaching Jesus no more. They didn't want to hear them preaching that way. Oh, Peter, I believe it was, looked around there and said, you just don't have to be us. All we know to do is to preach what we've seen and what we've heard. If we want our youngins to know how to walk, they better see us walking it. Let them see it in us. Let them hear it in us. And then the only way they'll know is to do what they've seen and heard and what they know works, Tommy.
This won't get a vote of popularity, but I ain't looking for it for men anyway. I'm going to tell you, I'm a preaching in some of the hardest times I've ever seen in my life. You know what? Old Jeremiah preached, Elijah preached, and Isaiah preached in some of the hardest times they've ever faced. Paul preached, Peter preached, Stephen stood firm in some of the hardest times. And you know what I see through the Word of God? It worked. He said He's God, He changes not. He's the same God today as He was in their day. He's the same delivering hand that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We preached about this morning. He's the same one that will stir that sap up in your life. I didn't even know if I was preached tonight or not, to be honest with you. The Lord had something for us to say. It might be short, might be sweet. That's what God gave me. I love you tonight. I appreciate you. And I pray we, everyone, don't make excuse. I pray we just go to eat. And I pray we take what we've eaten, do like them apostles did, them disciples did. I've preached it before. When the Lord was handing out them few loaves and them few fishes, He'd hand it over here, Mark, to the disciple. And that disciple, he'd break off a piece and he'd hand it over here to another. He'd break off a piece and he'd hand it to another. And it never run out, did it? They was taking up fragments after it was over with. You come into the house of God when there's a few loaves and a few fishes set before you, and we try our best to break off a piece and hand it to you, Matthew. You go to work tomorrow, go home tonight, break off a piece and hand it to somebody else. Oh, it's like that. Them fragments went home and fed somebody else. I believe it's still feeding people. I know it is. We ain't coming to church and we ain't eating. We ain't got nothing to take home to feed nobody else. We start starving to death, they'll start starving to death. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you want to come and get something to eat, He'll feed you. That's what the Lord laid on my heart tonight. I love you.